Turn your Bibles, will, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, as we look here in our study about the ministers of the Lord, teachers, deacons, preachers, pastors, the ministers of our Lord. We're here in this chapter that the brother has started it off in verse number 1, saying that there's going to be difficult, perilous times in the last days, that they're going to come. They're going to be fierce times. He talks about not the subjects of that fierceness and that perilousness, but he's speaking not about the people of God that will receive the working of these and tribulation and trial from these, but talking about them themselves, very much akin to what's being brought out of Romans chapter 1. He tells about their attributes in verses number 2 and 3 and 4. Verse number 5, ending up having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. We are to be a witness to all men, but there are some that we just need to turn away from and back off from. We talked about that last time. Don't allow their doctrine, don't allow their wickedness to infiltrate, but yet be a witness to them of good things in Christ. Maybe we would find ourselves protecting our wives and our children from these and our homes from these, but yet proclaiming to them the need of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation by Him. He's going to go on here in verse number 6 and telling about what they do, ultimately getting to their end. And we pick it up here in verse number 6, and it talks about these that creep. The creepers, okay, or creeps in the scriptures. You never would have thought that there would have been such mentioned. And the thing is, but that's what's at hand here. For of this sort are they which creep into houses. Creep into houses. That word creep, and we talk about culture creep, we talk about different kind of, in engineering terms, there's different kind of creep that is referred to in different aspects of engineering and industry and such as that. We know with the geography, there can be, or the topography, that of dealing with the geology of the world, there can be aspects of the plates or the tectonic plates or the surface of the earth creeping. When soil gets loosened up, it'll begin to move and ultimately can end up with landslides. That ground begins to move. That word, that term creep, is talking about moving definitely, but very, very slowly. It's of this sort that creep into houses. I tell you what, brothers and sisters, I can't think but help of, in our day, bringing this to our day, about the media. The media is that way. The media is there. We have access to it. And again, as it is with everything in the world, it can be good or it can be evil. It can be used for good. It can be used for evil. You know, there's a doctrine of Satan. There's a doctrine of fallen man. There's a doctrine that comes and stems from the depravity of man. There is a doctrine that comes from the world system. There is a doctrine and a teaching that comes from Hollywood, in our case, in our nation. And it's pressing. It's pressing. You know, that's what the geology does, the ground. A structure might seem very, very sound and be designed for a certain forces in the earth and such as that. Brother Ashley deals with some of those things and some of the work that he does. But that creep of the earth in the case of a structure not built correctly, not built sufficiently, and that creeping and moving of the earth can all of a sudden overcome it, and it just cannot withstand the forces that are at hand. For of this search are they which creep into houses. Creep into houses. May the Lord help us that we be on guard for these things that just slowly come in and woo us, and we develop a lack of sensitivity to wickedness, filthy communication, bad manners that just creeps. That creeps upon us. It can happen. Each and every one of us are subject to it. I was talking to a brother the other day, or just recently, about how it is in our culture, in the language of our culture. We now, at this point, say being removed 30-some years, well, it's more than that, and from the 70s, I remember growing up in the cursing and the wicked words that were used by that had come out of the culture of that day and that were known, and we understood and we knew the source of that language and of those words and of that wicked talk and cursing. Now come down the line 30, 40 years, those terms are used freely, maybe even freely by those that claim Christ, and many, many times in ignorance. But the origin and the meaning is no different than it ever was. It's creeped upon us. It's just creeped. It's kept leaning. The pressure has been continually there. And it's creeped in. Of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away of divers lusts. He said, these will prey upon those that are weak. They will prey upon those that are caught up in the iniquity of the world, taking them farther. The indication is lead captive silly women. But I tell you what, in our day, we know full well that there's silly men too, don't we? There's a doctrine at hand in this whole gender confusion affair that is just, it takes men, and men are robbed of their manhood, and women are robbed of their femininity in the way that the Lord's designed them, and the thing is turned upside down, and you know what? It has a destructive, nasty, terrible end. Pursuing to do things that are just abominable before the Lord, and abuse of their bodies and seeking to change their bodies from the way that the Lord has made them. That's what this sort purports. See how they have creeped into houses? In the media and the entertainment of the day, it's even thought that it is wise and prudent and appropriate for the salaciousness of homes and popular and famous families, for all the nastiness of their wicked lives to be just promoted abroad into our children and the world. It's silliness, isn't it? It's a lack of soberness that's at hand. And see what it says? This sort, they creep into houses and they lead. They lead these. They take them and they lead them what? To righteousness? To a solution? To better things and a better front? No, just to more and more wickedness. Again, we've mentioned here recently about all this affair and this righteousness that the media and that Hollywood has about the mistreatment of women. And no doubt there are women that have been mistreated. But there are those that engage in that way and in that culture and in that world that should expect nothing but that. Men and women, it's no difference. And everybody can be subject to be abused to wherever their weakness is. If you and I go and mess and try to tame and play with a lion, what can you and I expect than to be devoured by a lion? And that's what's going on, is these people have entered into a world that they have flirted with, looking to gain money, looking to gain esteem, looking to further their careers, and they have engaged this machine, this animal, expecting to come through it and come out of it without even being touched at all. It's impossible. Why? Because the animal itself is wicked. The animal itself, the machine itself, if you will, is wicked. Why? Because it's the result of that of mankind and how he is just discovering himself, as the Scripture says. For this of this sort, with these characteristics mentioned in the previous four verses. They creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins. They're laden down. Come unto me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden. Now, these are laden down with sins. They're laden with wickedness. All that they think about is the next wicked thing. All that they pursue is the next satisfaction of the flesh. And you know what? These in these earlier verses, they invent the new thing for them to engage in and fulfill the desire of the flesh that they have. Inventors of evil things for the sake of those that want to pursue evil things. They creep into houses, they lead captive those laden with sins and that are led away with divers lusts, different desires. Different desires that they have. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers desires. I don't know exactly about the sentence structure there. Is it talking about those that are laden with sins? Or is it talking about the ones that are doing such? They're all in a terrible, wicked way, aren't they? Verse number 7. We see here in this verse number 6, we see about their doctrine and their teaching. Their doctrine, and that's going to be a reference that we're going to need to hang on to. In verse number 6, we see, verses 2 through 6, we see their doctrine, their teaching, their purpose, their work. And look what it says here in verse number 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We were just talking about the marvel of how Brother Ashley's sons down there at Children's Hospital, Brother Ashley and Sister Brittany's the twins that they have, and just the marvel that the Lord has allowed mankind to discover and develop and design and invent the life support for those little fellows so they can have, they are given a respite in breathing with those CPAP machines, that they might not labor with that and that their bodies would be able to develop. I mean, it's a marvel. It's a miracle, isn't it? Technology that the Lord has allowed us to have and given us the mankind the wherewithal to invent and to discover and to build and to research and find out is just amazing. And then so many other technological fronts. It is said that as we invent, and as we are able to do and answer questions that are at hand in that realm of technology, that we end up with another however many questions or what ifs or what do you think if we could do this? We do learn, don't we? And in our lifetimes, in the time of our generations, so much advancement has come to pass. Since those of the age range here in our congregation here this afternoon, the technology that has been developed is just incredible in our lifetime. I mean, it is just incredible. But you know what? That doesn't cause any man to learn about the need of their soul and the need of Christ, does it? Men will try to dabble with eternal things. And you know what man has chosen to do about eternal things? Ignore it. Deny it. Right? Hadn't that been the choice? Willfully ignorant of the life to come and saying, let's make the best of what we got here now because we can touch it. Because we know it's real. Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I mean, there is a truth that you give a child, a baby, the right amount of oxygen and airflow and all that, that it'll help them. That is a truth, but that's not the truth that's being spoken about here. The eternal truth. You know what? And it's one thing to not know the eternal truth about God is God, and beside him there is none other. The eternal truth that you are a sinner and you need a Savior. It's one thing to know about those things, but it's another thing to believe those things into action. Because to know about the Bible will do no one any good. But to believe the Bible, therein is the truth. That good word of God will help me and applies to me. And I am commanded by God to obey the Lord in what He has said. Ever learning, the sword is. Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. An example. And it's interesting how this is in the passage here and how our Lord has given the Apostle Paul this, and in turn, by virtue of it being included here, given to you and me. An example of some that are known of, but maybe until you came across this passage, we didn't know them by name. But you know what? These wicked, they have a name. They are real people. And they do have a need for their soul, and we need to be a witness to them of Christ. But their aim and their desire, naturally, and what they naturally know and what they are willfully ignorant in, is to destroy. That's what they want to do, is destroy. Verse number 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. And you're thinking back in the Old Testament, do you remember about the account of Moses? And do you ever remember these characters being mentioned? I don't. And whether the Apostle Paul knew it from Jewish history, which could have well been the case, or our Lord revealed it unto him, by this passage it is indeed known. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also in these previous verses, these creepers, these ones that lead the silly and the non-sober and the pursuers of wickedness themselves, lead others to more wickedness, so do these also resist the truth. Oh, they resist it. Anything godly that is brought up in anything godly, anything righteous, anything that's for and in agreement with the Lord that's brought up in our society today is immediately shot down by the liberals, isn't it? The unbelievers. And even conservatives, so-called, will look to shoot it down or will be silent when they should speak. You can talk about any other God you want to talk about, but not Jehovah God. Not His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you can pursue and purport and hold forth the most wicked and salacious gods that there are developed by mankind. But I tell you what, don't mention Jehovah God. Why is that? Because the Lord is true. That's why. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so we have an understanding here about the time frame, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. That is, the faith of our Lord and the faith in Christ and all that comes from Christ, which is everything. Everything that's true and right. We come over here to Exodus chapter 7, and it's understood that these Jannes and Jambres are, the reference is this right here. When God speaks in His Word, what would you and I say should be done? I think we could probably go out here in the community and even ask, if God says His Word, what should we do? I think that probably about every Tom, Dick, or Harry would say, well, it should be obeyed. Well, back there in Egypt, God sent His Word, didn't He? And understand these that are described here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, they are the same as these that are described here in Exodus chapter 7. Let's read quickly. And the Lord said unto Moses, Exodus 7, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh. I've given that power and that presence. And Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt. Talking about paradox, go, but he's not going to listen to you. Well, then why go? I tell you, that's what the flesh says. But the Spirit says, obey the Lord, right? And that's what we've been told to do. Go, go, and the Lord will work wondrously. He'll not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. Verse 5, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. When I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. And Moses was 80 years old. And Aaron 83, 83 years old, when they spake unto Pharaoh. Verse 8, and the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that is the Lord, that he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Jannes and Jambres. The Lord said, let my people go. You know what should have been done? Pharaoh should have said, take off. You know what the magicians should have said? The Lord said it, go. But you know what? They withstood the truth. Pharaoh withstood the truth. And these magicians, being connected to and working in the spirit world, which no man belongs messing with, but can be done. It's going to be the testimony of these and coming plagues where they're going to try to bring forth lice and they won't be able to do it. And they'll tell Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. They know. They know. And it's evidenced right here in this miracle. Aaron's rod of the Lord ate up theirs. Yeah, they threw down their rods and they became snakes. But Aaron's rod devoured them. You know who's there? You know who's leader among these? Jannes and Jambres. Jannes and Jambres. They're wicked men with real names. And what's the Lord say back here in 2 Timothy chapter 3? They resist the truth. Do you resist the truth? Do you? Do you and I resist the truth? May God help us that we wouldn't. May God help us that we wouldn't resist the truth. I know that says that, but I just don't really want to go there. Don't be a resister of the truth. I know God says that I'm a sinner and I need Christ, but I've got my life to live. I tell you what, don't be a resister of the truth. The truth needs to be received, because in our Lord and in truth is the only way that there's help and hope for sinners like you and me. Abiding in the truth, as we looked at this morning, abiding in our Lord and receiving His truth and what He says unto us, I tell you what, it's the only way for happiness and joy for the child of God. A child of God dragging and resisting against the truth is just going to be pure misery. It's going to be, there might be an enjoyment here and an enjoyment there. But I tell you what, mark it down, brothers and sisters. Those touches of that enjoyment, they never last. They just don't last. They may be enjoyed for a moment. They might be enjoyed for a day. But what about the next day when it's all gone? I tell you what, our Lord, and the peace and the comfort that we have in resting in His truth and following in Him truth, His truth, it just keeps on giving, doesn't it? It just keeps on giving. It's satisfying. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, those mentioned in the earlier verses. Men of corrupt minds. corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. We have the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, His faithfulness. That's an aspect of that. It's only in recent times that the Lord has revealed that and used brethren to show us about that. The faith of our Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus as a man has been faithful since the day He hit the air. Since the day He was born, He's been faithful in every aspect of everything. Not letting one thing slip. Not one. And you know what? That's the faithfulness you and I are called to. Not to let anything slip. Oh, but we do, don't we? Lord, help us. Forgive us, Lord. And help us that we would not. Never be presumptuous. Now, knowing that we are in this paradox, this old man and this new man together, and we have a reason to understand our failures, that we do sin and we do fail because of the old man, but never let us get comfortable with it and presume that it's okay. Knowing the reason is not the justification of an excuse. We don't have an excuse. Reprobate concerning the faith. This word reprobate is talking about anything concerning the faith that crosses their minds and their hearts is wrong. That's what reprobate means, is incapable of discerning anything righteous or anything good. Even down to just basic things. We talked about that here recently with folks in our church. How that an example is given. I'll give you this example. This is an example that just touches on a thing. You have an elderly man, and his daughter that have come to this place to do whatever is at hand, a religious organization, so-called. And when they come out from the quote-unquote service, they have a flat tire. You know, an elderly man and his daughter, and they have a flat tire. And all those that they have met with in this quote-unquote service, as they come out and see, from the leader all the way through the others of that group, come out and see that they have a flat tire, confirm indeed that they have a flat tire, and then load up and leave them. To where an elderly man and his daughter are left on a parking lot with not even an offer to call anybody. Now, this organization claims to be religious, but their religion, just like we see with the Pharisees that the Lord chides and rebukes so sternly in the Gospels, the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, the lawyers, their religion has caused them to become devoid of basic human decency. An elderly man you help, especially a debilitated elderly man, but an elderly man and a woman you don't leave on a parking lot at night without helping them. They're reprobate in that regard. See, it didn't even cross their mind to say, "Let me change your tire. Let me stay here with you while help comes. Let me take you home so then your family can come back and get your car." It didn't even cross their minds. They are reprobate of even thinking of anything that needs to be done. It didn't occur to them. And that's the way these are concerning the truth of our Lord. They resist it. They are corrupt in their minds and their thinking. Reprobate concerning the faith. And Romans chapter 1 in this chapter, we'll not read the whole thing, but I do want to refer to one verse that is here. the threefold giving up of men by the Lord. He gives them up because of their missing and not a lack of understanding, seeking after God without the work of the Spirit, and just man gets it wrong. Uncleanness is at hand, verse 26. There's more giving up to the Lord and vile affections and such as that. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. And see, with Hollywood and our media today, that's the way that it is. You mention about the Lord, you mention about God, you mention about a point of righteousness that stems from the Scripture and the Bible, and it's the greatest offense that has ever been offended by man. Why? They're reprobate of the truth. They have no understanding. Their truth is the truth that they have made. They do not want to retain God in their knowledge. Are you tempted to push God out of your thoughts and your heart and your mind? I tell you what, don't go there. The Lord being on a sinner's heart and mind is the best thing that ever happened to him. Because that very Lord is the one that you need, sinner. You need Him. This threefold, the third giving over, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. I don't know when it is. I can't call it. Every sinner's in need of Christ. And to say that somebody's too far gone is not for you and me to say. Because the Scripture proves and shows us indeed that the most wicked of men can be saved by the Lord. But I tell you what, there is a time that the Lord says, you don't want to think about me? You don't want me? All right, you've got it and everything that goes with it. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being, verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness. What's happening here? Covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy. All they've got is their body. All they've got is their own mind and their own thinking and the way of the world and these wicked ones that we've seen about over here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. They don't have any thought of the Lord. And in anything righteous whatsoever, they get wrong in their thought and their mind in every way, and all they have is the flesh. And that's what they pursue. I tell you what, it's a sad state. Full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity. And wouldn't it describe of our day? Whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. Despiteful, yet proud and boastful in their way, inventors of evil things. Yet another thing, another wicked thing. As we say, when things come out, and we don't know a tenth of what's going on, but they pursued that wickedness. Yeah, they sure did, and do. Disobedient to parents. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. What's it say here in verse 32? Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. That's what the Lord says about it. The death penalty. The death penalty is what they're due. It's what we were due before the Lord saved us. So don't let us not in our hearts and minds think that we've arrived or come to a better plane on our own. Our Lord has rescued us. Amen. And sinner, you need the Lord to rescue you from this. But the Lord says they're worthy of death. Not only do the same, but here's the thing. Here's another connection with these that we've seen in 2 Timothy 3. But have pleasure in them that do them. Those that are silly and willing to go with them. Those that lack sobriety. And I'm not talking necessarily about dope and liquor. I'm talking about the vision, the truth of the way things really are about life and living like the Lord sees and the Lord tells us. You've got a short time on this earth and then there's eternity. I'm talking about that kind of soberness. About you're a sinner and you've got the condemnation, the judgment of your sin abiding upon you. It's the wage. It's the wage that our brother pointed out and showed in the scripture this morning. You've earned it. It's coming your way and it's on your account. And there's no escape other than Christ. He's the only one that can help you. Back in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll close. They're reprobate concerning the faith. Verse number 9. But they shall proceed no further. Their folly, their vanity, their wicked self-way, clown act, if you will, the wasting of life and opportunity, even if you will, from the human standpoint, their folly shall be manifest, shown to all, as theirs also was. Janice and Jamboree's folly was manifested. See, later on in those plagues, I think about plague 8, plague 9, they came to Pharaoh. He continues to harden his heart. The Lord hardens his heart. He hardens his own heart. The scripture tells us it's both cases that are going on there. What's going on is the glory and the power of God's being revealed without the Spirit of God being at hand. See, it takes the Spirit of God to break down a sinner. And when Aaron cast down his rod and it became a snake, and then the magicians and sorcerers cast theirs down, and Aaron's rod consumed theirs, it just made Pharaoh angry, is what it did, that his were not sufficient enough. But Janice and Jamborees were no doubt, we don't know for sure, but they were no doubt of those that came to Pharaoh and said, "Don't you know Egypt is destroyed? Get these people out of here. There is no winning against their God. Get them gone." But it takes the 10th plague, doesn't it? Because the Lord was going to make a statement about the firstborn. Because you know what? The Lord's going to give His firstborn. And the firstborn is His. It'll proceed no farther. Their folly shall be manifest to all. Well, wait a minute. Israel was there and all of Egypt was there, but Brother Jim, there's been a lot of people since then, and the Lord says all. Yeah, you know how it's going to be manifest to all? I believe it's going to be manifest to all at the judgments. And understand, the children of God are the Lord's witnesses. And our Lord's judgment seat, our Lord's throne of righteousness from which He judges, it's His bar. It's His court. And you know what? I think the people of God and the children of God are going to be there to witness against the heathen. And everything that's been done in secret, and everything that's been done in public, and all the mysteries we have about antiquity and all those things that are known, not known, or we think it's this way or that way or the other way, one day it's all going to be set straight. Because there's no problem with time when it comes judgment time. And you know what? Janice and Jamboree's folly is going to be laid open to every inhabitant of the earth, I believe, at the great white throne judgment. Something for you to chew on. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to Jesus. I tell you what, there's life and there's health and there's hope with our Lord. There's peace with God, forgiveness of sins, and a future. A blessing here and a future after this life. Without Him, you know what? Your folly is going to be manifested to all too. May the Lord help and bless with His work.